This is Dan Barish, the Jewish liberal from Cleveland.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle.
And we are the common ground. So this is part two of our series on race, and I tend to think we'll probably end up with a part three.
Yeah, that's very probable. Anyway, so we kind of left off talking about, you know, the unpacking your privilege piece. That's what that was called, right?
Right, basically. Actually, what it was called was the invisible knapsack.
Okay. So, saying that we carried around a lot of baggage, we're assumed to have certain things in our lives that may or may not be caused by our race or other things like that. So, let's get on to a couple things or issues of the day, if you will. There's been several incidences where it's been a white cop killing in a seeming unjustified way a black person. And so this is kind of what's been inspiring a lot of this chatter recently in conversations across Facebook, across, you know, it's finding a national dialogue, which, well, a lot of the things are deplorable that are going on. You know, a lot of people would see that. We're talking about things, which I think, as long as we're allowed to have even an open discussion, I think is a good thing. So what's your take going on this, Dan?
Well, my take is, geez, where do I start with that? My thought was that today what we really needed to do was, we can go sort of a couple of different ways. We can talk case by case of, you know, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Tamira Rice, and we could do that. But one thing I also really want to do, maybe even more, is in the light of this podcast, talk about and I'm only going to speak for white people because that's what we both are, how do white liberals see conservatives on the race issue or issues, and how do white conservatives see liberals on race and themselves? How do we see ourselves and the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what often strikes me on Facebook, is I often see a lot of white conservatives seeming to try to get into the posture of justifying any police killing of a black person by a white cop, and liberals getting furious at that.
Yeah, that has been a consistent theme across a lot of it. You know, I think that's because we have made this a posture about every time there is one of these cases, it's automatically considered racism. Or, you know, the people bring racism to the thing. Well, obviously this cop is racist because he put this person in a chokehold, or he shot this person supposedly with his hands up, which wasn't really true. But, you know, things like that, they're like, well, it's because the cop is racist and wants to execute black people, which there may be a silent racism, but in none of these cases does it appear to be a malicious racism. I mean, if the person was a cop and wanted to go around killing black people, he would probably do it in the middle of the night when there's nobody around. I mean, like, the Michael Brown happened on a busy street in the middle of the day where there were hundreds of people to witness and, you know, around the area, things like that. Like, if this person really was just going around wanting to shoot up a black person, you could do that as a cop in the middle of the night in other places and do it and be much more likely to get away with it. Which, if it was like a premeditated thing, like, so, I mean, there's no, like, malicious racist intent, you know, KKK, I'm going to go and lynch somebody kind of intent, which is what people often are making it out to be, or at least it seems to be that way from a conservative standpoint. And so because of that, anytime someone brings up, well, it's racist, when we think of racist as a conservative, we think of KKK, malicious racism. When I think a lot of people on the left tend to see it more as when they say racism, it's usually more of the soft racism. It's the suspect kind of thing, where this person, to me, just appears to be a person that would be doing bad things, or like perceives as a criminal kind of thing is where I think the soft versus the hard racism. You see what I'm saying, Dan?
Yes, I do. I would offer that it's not about soft versus hard racism for us. It's about systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
A very wise man I know who is actually alive, but I haven't consulted him on quoting him, so I won't name him. But he said to me, in a completely different context, actually, but he said to me, every system is perfectly designed to do, is perfectly designed to produce exactly the result that it does. Now, it may have been designed to produce a different result, but nonetheless, any system that continually produces a certain result is by definition perfectly designed to produce that result. So what do we have? We have mass incarceration in this country. We have, you know, a quarter of all black males in prison right now.
We've mostly, I think, due to dumb drug laws. Basically.
Right, exactly. It's all these incarcerations are not Eric Garner's and Tamir Rice's, who as a libertarian conservative do oppose, correct?
We need to change the way the war on race on drugs works.
No.
It's not and working. We need to figure something else out. So, like whether it's legalizing the drugs or, like, legalizing some of the drugs, I'm still kind of open-minded on that. So,
But regardless, I think what we have is generations of broken communities due to a justice system that, among other things, tends to send a lot of males to prison, their parents. We just know that from mm-hmm. social science. It's an established finding. And so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just as a side note, that almost 90% of urban African American homes are fatherless homes where the father is not present. It's almost 90% in urban areas. Now that's less in non-urban areas, but in urban areas, African American homes, it's 90% are in fatherless homes. I think it was an American Family Institute thing that I was looking at. I mean, you know, the general one is about 70% across the board are in fatherless homes of African Americans. But this stat was, I believe it was an American Family. I would need to double check that one, where that came from.
So there's a book that sort of speaks to the liberal perspective on this whole issue, colorblindness.
Mm-hmm.
Author is Michelle Alexander. At her Facebook page, that's how I'm rattling it off that neatly, so I'm not that amazing. On her case, and I read, this article says mm-hmm. perfectly what I and many others have been saying for years, it is designed to do. The sooner we wake up to this reality, the sooner that not only our, quote, justice, unquote, system, but the American culture, and finally put an end to our nation's history and cycle of creating these caste-like systems in America. And for me as a liberal, that rings true. The only threatening part of that is that in any big system, you know, take a constitutional convention, which we probably won't ever have in this country again, or a Vatican convention, why it's scary to those involved.
We're actually getting pretty close to that.
A constitutional convention?
Uh-huh. I believe there are already 16 states that have called for one.
Oh, well, if it happens, then it happens. But in any case, the reason why they're kind of...
We just need to get to 34, and there's been a big push in the Republican Party to have a constitutional convention, and they only need a few like Democrat controlled state houses to ratify it in order for it to actually pass, because this last election cycle they now control like 30 or 30 both houses in like 30 or 31 states. So if the Republicans do what there's a big push for right now, it may very well happen in the next few years.
Oh, I hope it doesn't. I don't think our system has enough integrity. I don't trust our politicians with a constitutional convention right now. I would rather keep this system, and by system I mean the Constitution, than let the people in office right now mess with it. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. That's just my knee-jerk reaction of, you are not good enough to do this. And that mm-hmm. goes for both parties, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's that terror of throwing all the papers up in the air and what could happen. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I agree with what Michelle Alexander is saying on our fundamental basis. And what I would say is that the more juries return findings that don't even meet credulity, and the more grand juries that fail to indict when they really clearly should, and we're told to respect the grand jury process, that begins to really break the trust in even more civil institutions. You know, long before you and I were born, Matt, the American people lost really that fundamental trust in the office of the presidency. You know, your You know, the far right of your party is totally willing to say, oh, let's go impeach the president. And they've been saying it practically since day one. And by the way, yes, my party was doing it to George W. Bush. And if we get a new Republican in office, we'll probably do it to him or her as well. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. But
have you heard of the election of 1800? Have you heard some of the stuff that went on in that election?
Which, I mean, I honestly, bad historian, can't remember who the opponents were.
So John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, of course, John Adams. Yes, of course. Yeah, so that was a pretty dirty election.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, the distrust and like the smearing and that sort of thing has been going on in this country for a long, long time.
The smearing, yes, but you know, Robert Caro in his multi-part biography of Lyndon Johnson talks about how fundamentally it was Lyndon Johnson who really lost the faith of the American people in the presidency. You know, the faith that John Kennedy kept with the people during the Bay of Pigs, that Eisenhower had to call to his side when the U-2 was shot down, this sacred trust in the president with a capital P, the institution.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of faith that could make a father say to his family, you know, don't criticize the president, he's a good man. That's never been said at my dinner table. Not ever, not ever, not ever. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it ever will be again. And it was Lyndon Johnson who, by lying and lying and lying and lying, getting a whole lot of Americans killed in Vietnam and wasting our resources upon that war, lost that faith. And, mm-hmm. of course, Nixon did the rest of the job.
Yeah.
And I don't think the presidency's ever going to regain that. And what I'd hate to see, and I think maybe what we're already well on the course to doing, is for the courts to lose that same faith. And considering that cockroaches are now more popular than the United States Congress, I think the legislature has maybe already gone that route.
Well, the funny thing is, people despise the Congress as a whole, but they love their representative.
Absolutely, which means it will continually reelect that same Congress that we hate more than a cockroach.
Uh-huh, yeah, which is...
I don't want to throw my bum out, I want to throw your bum out.
Exactly. You know, that's, you know, the large part because the people the politicians are selfish towards their districts. And so when someone is selfish towards you, you get favors and other things and they tend to do what you want to do. But when everybody is doing right. that, then it doesn't really work very well. So.
Right.
That's why we don't like
it. So I think we've talked about how liberals view a thing and about how conservatives view a thing. Now let's get a bit spicier and talk about how liberals view conservatives and how conservatives view liberals. So do you want me to start or you to start?
No, you can go ahead and start now.
Okay. I may get this wrong, just to
Yeah, that's be not clear. A problem. I probably got my side wrong too, so
I would say that when we white liberals look at, and I hope I already put this qualifier in, that my aim today is only to speak for white people. I think, especially now, it's wrong to even accidentally imply that I'm speaking for someone of another race. So I'm speaking only for white liberals today, myself first and foremost. So we look at conservative America, at least on Facebook and in the news media, and we see here are a bunch of people who will go to pretty much any length to find not guilty in the court of public opinion any white cop, especially who kills a black person for whatever reason. We see a system that will work very hard to justify killing black people with impunity. And then what's more, to say, oh, that black person shouldn't have been this, shouldn't have been that. Welfare state, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, welfare queen, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you guys work, blah, 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 blah. You're all lazy, blah, 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 so on.
There's definitely a sector that, at least to a point, is doing that. Yes. I wouldn't say, like, because it's a black person. I think it's more because it's a cop. And so I think a lot of conservatives tend to lean more on the cop side than they should. And so I think it's more because it's a cop than it's because it's a black person that got shot. I mean, like, any cop, if, for example, if the narrative on the Mike was that Mike Brown had his hands up and, you know, was actually, like, you know, stopped and said, you know, yeah, my hands are up, please, you know, don't shoot, like the common saying is going around. If that were the case, this cop should be going to prison. No, no, no qualms about it, and I think a lot of conservatives would agree with that. Like most would. But I think what it is one, it's kind of interesting. There's certain institutions that like conservatives tend to trust more, and there's certain institutions that liberals often tend to trust more. Conservatives are often more against the welfare state and that sort of thing, but are for the criminal justice system. Tend to follow that more and be more behind the criminal justice system, whereas it's kind of the opposite amongst liberals, right?
Yeah, it's true. You know, there's that saying, and I'll censor this, F the police. You'll never hear a liberal say, you know, F the Social Security Administration. you wouldn't hear that. Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah, I mean, so that's I think is where the bias is coming in. And because the big cases recently have been about black people, that's what has been in the light. I think it's part of that bias is coming out. Now, there may be some bias in the criminal, there may be and probably are some biases in the criminal justice system against blacks and that sort of thing. But the conservative mindset is not whether more about the victim, but more about, you know, we tend to naturally believe that cops are good people. And so, you know, they're willing to put themselves out on the line. And so we would rather give the benefit of the doubt to the cop than to any victim that it happens to be. And I think that's kind of where this conservative position is coming from, if you get my drift.
No, I totally do. And I think for us as liberals, it's that we see not a question of it was a person racist, which is really hard to prove, but a whole system is racist is actually relatively easier to prove, in the sense of, was the system designed with a racist intent? Well, maybe, if you can look into documentary evidence that proves it based on what people were thinking and writing at the time. But
like Planned Parenthood.
Sure. Started off with the eugenics movement. Margaret Sanger wanted to get rid of... What'd you say?
Yeah, Margaret Sanger.
Right, Margaret Sanger, a lot of liberals don't realize this, absolutely was a eugenicist who specifically wanted to target the black race for elimination because they were, quote, feeble-minded. Absolutely! Absolutely! Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood comes out of the eugenics movement and used to be called something-something eugenics. Forgive me for not having Wikipedia open at the moment, but sorry, folks. I mean, I am a Planned Parenthood supporter. I've friended them on Facebook. But yes, they came out of the eugenics movement. It's true. That's part of where their ancestors
I thought it was a little bit ironic that they joined the Black Lives Matter movement.
Hey, things change. And I mean, the Democratic Party, whose president signed...
If Planned Parenthood had renounced Margaret Sanger and changed, as far as I've seen, they haven't done that. And so, you know, if they haven't, as far as I know, they haven't let go of their roots. You know, 67% of all of the Planned Parenthood abortions are of black people.
But is that a function of more black people want abortions or not?
That's partially it. Black people typically make up about 40% of all, but 67% of Planned Parenthood's abortions.
And considering that more black people live in poverty than white people, and considering that poverty might be a big driver of, you know, gee, I really can't afford this, I probably should have an abortion. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's the ghost of Margaret Sanger lives on, or that's just a function of who shows up at the door. But anyhow, let's not make this a Planned Parenthood episode. We don't need to do that. Yes, it's to an extent, was the system designed with racist intent? Also, does it produce racist results? If you have a certain judge who, you take the same defendant who has been found guilty or pled guilty to the same drug crime, and blacks reliably go to prison in front of this judge, and whites reliably get probation, you know. For example, we see blacks go to jail for 6 months or a year for, you know, a drug possession or a drug trafficking case all the time. When I was in 12th grade at Shaker Heights High School, Shaker Heights Municipal Court ran full-on court, not mock court. They were running an honest-to-God court in the Shaker Heights High School small auditorium. And I saw what looked like, you know, some biased sentencing to me, because there was this young white woman who, by the way, her father also served as her lawyer. And this woman had been on crack, I believe, one of those hard drugs. And the judge said, oh, you know, I think you can have a great life. You can be an airline stewardess or something. So I'm going to have to put you in jail for a bit, but you're going to get rehab. And I just thought, how can you look at her and know she's going to have a good life? And in that same court session, before the court came a black mother who had stolen some stuff from a department store but who had children to feed, and she did go to prison or jail. I can't remember which, to be honest. But there was none of that. You could have a good life, and by the way, you know, you made a mistake, but you've got children to feed, and hopefully you've learned your lesson. Or here's probation or something. No, she got locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not look good to us in the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when we had our question and answer session after the court session, I raised my hand and made this point back then. And it was, of course, her African-American bailiff who stepped forward and said something defensive that I can't remember anymore. And I thought, ah, yes, the exonerating black person. So that's the, if conservatives once had a peek inside a liberal mind, there you had it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's an interesting, I had a few stats here just to go over, just to see, some of the mindset here. So, between 2001 and 2010, this is a look at cop killers, people that have killed a cop. So, there are 587 total people that killed a cop. 306, or 52%, were white. 259, or 44%, were black. And then there's, 9 Asian or Pacific Islander, 6 American Indian, and 7 not reported. Interestingly, only 12 of them were female. So, 98% were male.
98% of the people who have killed cops were male?
Uh-huh.
But that's not a surprise.
From 2001 to 2010, there were reasons, 12 females.
For reasons that I wish we understood, far more males commit crimes.
Males tend to be more aggressive.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, we've got far more prisons for men than for women.
That is what that boils down to. So it looks like our time is up for today, but we're going to have to continue.
Absolutely. This discussion's not over. It's to be continued. It's that we each have obligations in our lives, and this is absolutely not over. Sorry to end it like this, but we're not ending it. So, this is Dan Bereshvi, Jewish liberal from Cleveland who speaks only for his white self, signing off.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle, signing off.